Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a Cheeses for Us Mises, and I love films. As Ebenezer Scrooge once said, I will honour Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year by playing the Muppet Christmas Carol soundtrack on hard rotation, even in summer. Excellent idea, Ebenezer Scrooge. Every week I invite a special guest over, I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that mean the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Jamila Jamil, Mark Frost, Sharon Stone, and even... But this week, it's the wonderful actor, writer, and comedian. It's the brilliant Leslie Jones. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 20 minutes with Leslie. She tells me a secret. We talk about beginnings and endings. You get the whole thing uncut and ad-free and as a video. You can find all of that over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. But you know what? Because it's Christmas, I'm going to give you the Patreon section for free this week because it's such a banger. She's so brilliant and I think you should all hear it. The only thing I will keep in the Patreon section is her secret because I always keep those secrets secret. That's the whole point of them, isn't it? So, Leslie Jones is a star best known as a stand-up, a Ghostbuster, and a legend from SNL. She has a new book out called Leslie Fucking Jones, which you must buy. We'd never met before we recorded this. We recorded it on Zoom a couple of weeks ago. She hadn't done the homework, and that made it even more fun. She's so funny. She's such a joy. This is one of my favourite ones ever, and I really think you're going to love it. So that is it for now. Merry Christmas, and I hope you very much enjoy episode 279 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by an actor, a writer, a comedian, an improviser, a Ghostbuster, an Emmy nominee award winner, a hero, a legend, a Saturday Night Liver, a stand-upper, a hero to the world and a legend to this Jesus. Life. Can't believe she's here, but she is. Can you please welcome to the show? It's the brilliant, it's Leslie Jones.
Oh my God, what an introduction.
The least.
That is a hell of an intro.
The least you deserve,
That's
Leslie.
A hell of an intro. By the way, your character on Ted Lasso mm-hmm. is literally one of my favorite characters in the world.
Get out of here.
I love when people start off so mean. And you end up loving them by the end. It's one of my favorite character arcs. And you played it so fucking good, dude. Like the relationship that you had with the players and the coaches and your niece. And it's just
Leslie.
So, it was played so good, dude. You deserved all of the awards.
Leslie.
I just, loved your part. You were fucking fantastic.
And that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for doing this show. That's Leslie Jones, everyone. well, you've all enjoyed ourselves. We've had a lovely day out. We'll leave it there. Thank you. Leslie, that's far too kind and very, very kind of you. I'm a massive fan of yours and I'm excited to meet you. Thank you so much. What a lovely thing.
It's so crazy when people that you watch on TV that you like you, and you're like, oh, okay, that's great.
It's crazy. Let's not make each other cry. It's too early, all right?
It's too early in the podcast.
Where are you? And do you... I've got so many questions for you, but one of them is, you did Saturday Night Live for ages and were incredible. Do you miss it?
Well, it was only 5 seasons. So, you know, 5 seasons was long. It's a long time because we do a lot of work. But do I miss it? I miss doing the show, but I don't miss all the politics and everything around it. It was time to go.
Right.
It was definitely time to go. Or if I didn't go, I wouldn't have been able to leave, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
If I would have stayed any longer, then I would have got to the place where I wouldn't be able to comfortably leave. And it was time. I was about 50-something when I left. So I was like, yeah, I got to go. I'm getting old. I got to go try to do other shit, you know, before the life runs out. So,
wow.
You know, if they had got me in my 20s, I probably would have stayed 10 years. Yeah. But.
And are you, other than being a movie star, are you doing more stand-up at the minute?
Yes. That's all. You know what's so crazy? That people don't know me as a stand-up. And that's how I made my bread and butter. So when somebody's like, you're a comedian too? I want to punch them in the face. You're like, are you serious? That is like my main job. I am a comedian. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you kidding me? I'll start performing right now. <It's>
like, but where are you at with it? Are you touring at the minute? Or are you building a new show? Where are you at?
Yes, I'm touring a lot of little places, but I'm mostly in LA working on new stuff. I'm always at the Comedy Store. Just, you know, working on new material, making sure that I actually have 2 specials in the, what do they call it?
In the chamber? As in they're shot or they're ready to
in
go?
In the chamber. Right. Yes, in the chamber. Boom. Yes, I already have enough material for two specials. So.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm always writing.
Yeah.
Always writing.
I mean, it's the most fun, isn't it?
Yes.
What about the, I mean, I ask this because, listen, I do all the things. You're a multi-hyphenate or whatever. Of all the things, you left SNL, you were like, I've got so much I need to do in this life. What's left?
Well, you know what's so crazy? Like, you know, this industry is such a weird industry. So I still want to play like a villain. You know, I still want to play a villain in a movie. You know, I still want to do a superhero movie. I still want to do stuff like that. You know, I definitely want to get the podcast back up. I want to write some stuff. You know, but it's just like, do I have enough life to do that? Like,
how old are you? You saying it like you ain't got long.
I'm 56. I'm 56. I turned 56 this year. I know people don't think that I look like that, but I am, bitch.
Right. A, stop calling me bitch. And B, 56.
No, not you,
I know.
But
I know. 56.
You know, I am.
You got double on that. You got another 50 to go, surely.
I hope you're right. I hope I could be a Betty White. That's the goal, is be Betty White.
Be more Betty White is a good mission for everyone.
Yeah. And I'm dying right on my birthday. Like on the 100th birthday, I want to die. Like right on my 100th birthday. As soon as I blow out the candles, I want to be like,
well, listen, you've
fuck up the whole party.
You've spoiled it because I was going to tell you that you are already dead. This is what the show is.
Damn.
You are dead. I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah, but, that's what somebody said.
Yeah.
So
you died.
What is this?
What is this? Well, this is, I guess this is.
What did I die of though?
Well, it's up to you, but it sounds like you died blowing out the candles, but I don't know what you died of.
Nah. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die either on the toilet or on a man's penis.
What if?
In the same position. Same position for both of them.
May I offer this up, given this is your dream death? Not only are you on a man's penis, but you're also on the toilet and you're blowing out your 100th birthday candle.
Woo! How the fuck?
Well,
that's a busy bathroom.
He's sat on the toilet. He says, baby,
come sit here. It's your 100th birthday. Let me give you a little treat. He's got a cake for you. You sit on the penis. You blow out the cake. And what neither of you...
They die right there.
And what neither of you knew was that there was a major gas leak in the bathroom. And as you blew the candles, the flame hit the gas and you all explode.
No, I don't want him to die. He don't have to die. But I could die on him. I just die from a heart attack. Or not a heart attack, just death. I'm just dead. I'm 100. Shit, there shouldn't be no excuse.
Do you think...
A vein pop.
The man that you die on, mm-hmm. you don't want him to die at the same time. But I worry, like...
I don't want him to die.
But he's
going to be young.
Yeah, he's going to be so young. But imagine him calling, let's say you're in a hotel, you have to call the concierge.
We're not going to be in a hotel.
Where are you at?
We got, see, first of all, you think that none of this is set up. All of this is set up. This is in the wheel. This is in the directions of when, so no one's going to be surprised. Everybody's going to be like, yep, she died just like she wanted. And he knows as soon as I die, he's just going to call my Aunt Pat. Or whoever's taking care of and said, hey, she's gone. She's gone.
And Auntie Pat knows. Pat's like, was she sitting?
Auntie
was
Pat.
Was she sitting on your penis?
Auntie Pat knows.
Was she sitting?
Yep. She didn't tell the pastor that, though.
Right.
She didn't tell the pastor, but it's cool. He don't got to know that.
The young man that you die on, is this a one-off or you've been with him for a while?
Nah, he's somebody that's been around for a while. I plan on getting me like a young dude.
Okay, here's my
to just be around.
Here's my concern for the young dude is that he knows the whole plan, right? So you're asking this young dude, he's had a lovely time with you. He loves you. He's having a great time. And then he knows
he's having a great time.
On your 99th, last night of your 99th birthday, you're like, tomorrow's the day, baby. And he's thinking, oh, but I love you. And you're telling me I gotta get an erection and sit on the toilet and hold a birthday cake. Knowing this is the one that's going to kill you.
Listen, when I sat down with him and made this deal, he knew what he was getting into. He knew.
He's been training.
He knew the risk. We've done tests. We've ran this a couple of times. He's fine. And plus, I'm leaving him a whole bunch of money. He's fucking fine.
He's fine. He can perform under the circumstances of, by the way, this is the one that kills me.
Yep. Matter of fact, it turns him on. That's
his thing.
Yeah, killer dick.
The thing is, with that being your fetish, is you don't get to do it many times, I guess.
Nah, I mean, but that's, coming and going. You know?
Well, Leslie, we're 10 minutes into the podcast and already you've had the best death that's ever happened. So, well done. So far, so good. Do you worry about death? Is it something you worry about on the daily?
You know, I didn't used to. I didn't used to when I was young, but now that I'm getting older, I do think about it. I always think about, like, because, you know, a lot of my friends have passed away, you know, and most of my family, my mom, my dad, and my brother is gone. Yeah. So death has been around me. I just, I think the only thing I'm worried about is how I'm going, you know. I don't know if I'm worried about when as much as how.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want it to be no long, drawn out death like cancer or something like that. Like I often look at those shows that people go, okay, well, I'm going to just go ahead and, you know, end it because I don't want to go through the suffering. And I go, I wonder if I would do that. Mm. But then that's kind of like not in my plan either, because it's like that means that I'm giving up. So I'm not a quitter. Yeah. So I don't know.
Do you think there's an afterlife? Do you believe in... What do you think?
Yes.
Tell me. Tell me what you think there is.
I do believe... I believe that we live the afterlife that we plan in life, if that makes any sense. Like, you form your own hell. I think you form your own hell. And if you're not a good person, then that's probably the aura that you're going to go into. I think that's the darkness that you carry with you to your death. Mm. But I think that if you live a good life and you live it out and you treat people good and stuff, I think that when you pass, you go into that type of afterlife. So, yeah, I believe that there's got to be something bigger. I mean, I'm not knowing what it is, but I do think that there's something bigger than us. I do believe that.
Well, do you think if someone's bad, that the hell that they create comes from their, like, subconscious guilt? Like, what if they're bad and they think they're great? They think they're great.
Well, that's not how karma works, is it? That's not how the universe works. No. The universe, I mean, you're lying to yourself. No, the universe doesn't lie to you. I mean, even if you're lying to yourself, the truth is being told to you everywhere you go. You can lie to yourself all you want to, but your friends are telling you the truth. Your actions are telling you the truth. The people around you, the things that happen to you are telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. So you can lie all you want to. Everybody else is not going to. So I feel like, yeah, you could think you're great if you want to, but the people, I really do believe the people that were in your life come to you. I believe that they'll let you know that, yeah, motherfucker, you was a fucked up person when you was alive. Like you was fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I believe in hell, in heaven. I don't know if I believe in that concept. I think I would love to. Mm. I would love to believe, but I don't know if I believe in that completely. I do believe in reincarnation and stuff. I believe we come back.
I believe that. I believe that heavily. But this thing you step into, you think that that's like a dream that happens when you die? Or you think it's you go straight to the next life?
I think it's a process. I mean, I feel like it's like, hey, this is how you lived your last life. Like, you better go into your next one. Fucking, do you want, you know what I'm saying? I think that each life we elevate subconsciously and mm-hmm. like our personality and stuff. I think it develops each life. I think each life that we come back and we try to fix what we didn't do right the last time. I think. I mean.
I love it.
It's a nice little, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got news, Leslie. There is a heaven on the way to the next life. Oh. And you are welcome in it.
Okay.
And it's for the good.
Oh, well.
It's for good people. You're welcome. Turns out you're very good.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're right.
And people very excited to see you. But it's filled with your favorite thing. What's your favorite thing?
You mean my heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's like weed.
Yeah, it's filled with weed.
It's filled with weed. Really good food. I really like good food. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's good. Like, as long as it tastes really good. I don't care what it is. Steak, chicken, whatever. It just tastes so fucking good. Okay. And I like sweets and TV. And I love TV. So it's so funny. That's funny you asked me that. Whenever I'm sitting by my pool, like I sit by my pool and I smoke a joint and I'm enjoying my day. And I always ask God, I'll be like, yo, if I die, is my pool going to be there? Like, is... Am I gonna be able to smoke weed? Like, cause this is the best feeling ever. Like,
this is great. Well, let me tell you, it's all there. The place is made of weed. You're sitting on weed chairs, and there's this buffet. It's got sweets. It's got all the best food. You will love it. However, everyone in heaven very excited to see you, but they want to talk to you about your life. They want to talk about your life through film. And the first thing they ask you is, what is the first film you remember seeing, Leslie Jones?
Oh, see, that's so hard because I'm 56. That's such a long time ago. Oh, my God. I think films. See, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I was like a night owl kid. So I would watch all the old movies, like the dancing movies, the Bing Crosby and all of that. Any movie like that, Shirley Temple probably would be the first thing that I remember, a Shirley Temple movie. And Shirley Temple, and I was in love with Shirley Temple. I thought, this little girl is fucking so talented, and she dances with the fucking slaves. She's fucking great, man. Yes. And then I think, you know, then the series of black movies, like, because I'm in a black family, of course. So The Wiz, all of the Sidney Poitier movies with Bill Cosby, all of those movies. Blues Brothers was a favorite in our house. Blues Brothers and Grease were two serious movies. And I've seen Blues Brothers at least 50 times. Grease, maybe 100. You know what I'm saying? So those were the two movies that we would rent out every weekend, no matter what.
And what, you'd watch it as a family or you and your brother? Was it just you and your brother?
Me and my brother. But as a family, we always watched the up-to-date scary movies. Like, my dad, I don't know what the hell was wrong with my dad. He would let us watch scary movies like the Friday the 13th and all that shit, like Exorcist. I remember him taking us to the fucking drive-in to see Exorcist. Wow. And my mom was so mad at him because I could not sleep for a month. My brother had to sleep in my room for a month because I was so scared. And I kept telling my mom, I was like, you know, the reason that the devil took her body was because she was weak, and I'm weak. Am I weak? Like, I want the devil to come and get me. And she would always be like, yeah, you kind of bad the devil. And I'd be like, don't say that, mom.
Shit.
So, yeah, it's like, my dad was in the army and my mom worked. So we watched a lot of movies. We watched a lot of TV.
Was your brother older?
He was younger. He was younger. 3 years younger than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the next question is, what's the film that scared you the most? But is it The Exorcist or was there another?
To this motherfucking day, I do not even turn the TV on if I know Exorcist is showing. They got a new version of Exorcist and I was going through, I think it was Peacock or Amazon, one of them, and that shit popped up. I almost jumped up and ran out of the fucking room. I don't even want that played in my house because I'm scared that I'm still going to get possessed by the devil. The Exorcist is one of the fucking scariest movies ever. The original. I haven't seen the remake, but I'm assuming that it's scary as hell. But back in the day, they used to make all the Damien, you remember Omen?
Yeah.
Omen 1, 2, and 3. All three of them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You wanted to kill that little boy. You're like, what the fuck? That little boy is evil. Nobody ain't killed him yet. The fuck? Like, put some rat poison in his fucking food. Something. This motherfucker's a menace. Like,
He was a real menace, that little boy.
He was a fucking crazy little boy. This little boy was crazy. And they always went to the woods with him. Yeah, he gonna kill you. He taking you to the woods. The fuck?
He's a fucking menace. I think it's quite good parenting. It's possibly good parenting to take you to The Exorcist because then they have something on you. Like, you're weak anytime you're naughty. Anytime you're naughty, they tell you you're weak.
Oh, my God.
You're weak and the devil will get you.
Oh, the devil's gonna get you.
Yeah, it's quite clever. What about crying? Are you a crier? And if so, what is the film that made you cry the most?
Oh, let me tell you. First of all, Ted Lasso. I cried every episode, every fucking episode. Oh my God, when dude came with his father, when the African father came down. I was choking. I was when homeboy took you to the windmills. I was yes. I am definitely a crier, and if I want to cry, I make sure that I find a movie that I know I'm gonna cry on.
Right.
So there's so many movies. Oh, Lady Sings the Blues. Lady Sings the Blues is probably my first heartbreak movie. Just heartbreak. Oh, no. Sparkle. How the fuck could I forget about Sparkle? Sparkle is definitely the movie that every time I cry.
What's Sparkle again?
Oh, you've never seen Sparkle?
Tell me, remind me.
I'm so happy I get to tell you about this movie.
It's like the Dream Girls.
It's okay. Irene Cara. It's about three sisters that start singing together. One of the sisters is on drugs. And it's just oh my God, it's so good. Philip Michael Thomas is in it. If you look at it, you're gonna see a lot of old people, but it's so fucking good.
Every time, Green Girls with old people.
Yes. It's just like it really is. It's so fucking good. I'm telling you, every time Sister Di, I cry like a motherfucker. And Boys in the Hood, every time Ricky runs up that goddamn alley, I'd be like, zigzag, motherfucker, zigzag. And he never zigzags and he gets shot every time.
Ricky always running in a straight line.
I told Morris that he was dying. He was like, you don't know how many people come up to me and tell me that. Yeah. So, I'm a crier for sure.
I think that's good. I mean, do you cry in life or do you use films to cry so you don't cry in life?
You know what's so funny? I do cry in life, but I have a time limit. I don't cry long.
Mm.
If I cry long, the only time I ever have cried long is if it's a heartbreak. If it's a heartbreak, I cry through the day. But if I'm upset about something, I'll cry and then I'll be like, okay, it's over. And then dry my eyes, let's solve this shit.
Nice.
You know.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board.
NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term programme. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans? Yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12? Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
What is the film that you love? People don't really like it. It is not critically acclaimed, but you love it unconditionally.
Why? Showgirls. That was so easy. That was the easiest answer. Showgirls.
Correct.
Showgirls? How the fuck people don't love Showgirls?
Agreed.
You're crazy.
You are crazy.
You're crazy.
Showgirls is a masterpiece and always was. Day one. Day one.
And they think it's a piece of shit. I don't know why. Yo, when she beats that guy's ass at the end of the movie, best scene ever. It's just, I love Showgirls. And people be like, that was the work. No, it was not. Mm. It was Elizabeth's best fucking work.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I loved it. The way she danced. I mean, think of the dancing in that shit. Mm-hmm. Gina Gershon. Oh my God. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. I loved that movie. And people hated that movie.
It's got Dale Cooper in it. It's flawless. It's a flawless masterpiece.
It really is. I mean,
people are scared of naked ladies, and so they have to hate on it. I assume that's the issue.
Oh my God. How are you going to be scared of naked ladies when there was a point where when she did the nipples, I was like, are you kidding? This is fucking glorious. Oh my God. I loved her and I loved that movie. That movie was so good. I always thought it should have been a Showgirls too, but.
Maybe it's time.
I don't know.
Maybe it's time.
I don't know.
Hey, listen, if we've learned anything, it's to believe. We can believe in the Showgirls too. Come on.
We can believe in it, but you know, this world is selfish. This world is selfish.
I don't know. If there's one thing, listen, there's so much going on in the world, but I think you and I can agree the most important thing we need is Showgirls too.
I mean, let's go in and pitch it. Fuck it. I mean, like, they will be like, Brett and Les, we have so many other things that y'all can do together and you want to fucking do Showgirls?
And we're like,
yes, motherfucker.
That's it. Or we will.
Yes.
It's Showgirls too. Yes. Or we're leaving town.
Or we fucking quit this business.
Yeah.
we quit this business.
We quit this business and we're going to just sit smoking weed by Leslie's pool, which is apparently such a good pool that she's taking it to heaven. This is the life.
It's a heated salt pool. Fuck
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's going to happen to me. Yeah.
Okay.
102.
Listen, I'm quite happy to take this gamble because if they say, this is win-win, either we're making Showgirls 2 or we're living by that pool. What is the film that you used to love, but you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh no, I don't like this anymore. Perhaps you've changed. Might not be the film's bad.
Oh, fuck. Damn, I forgot what it was that I just recently watched and I was just like, oh, damn, that movie's not as good as I thought it was. oh, fuck. And I bought it and everything. And I was just like, damn, this shit went quick. And it wasn't as good as I thought. No, heavy metal was, it will always be good. Heavy metal is still good. I can't remember what it was, but I remember it just happened too. Damn it, I wish I could remember what it was, because I was just like, damn, that shit wasn't. I showed it to someone to go, yo, this movie. And then we was watching it and I was just like, yeah, this might not have been as good as I thought.
That's horrible.
I can't remember what it is. It's going to come to me because I bought it and everything.
We can go back to it.
It'll come to it.
What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is good, but the experience you had seeing the film will always make it special to you.
Oh, there's a couple movies that's like that. Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Happy Gilmore used to be my life. Like, because I thought he was so funny. Everything he did in that movie was hilarious. So we would watch it every Friday night. I worked at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. We would finish at 12 and we would come to the house, smoke a joint and watch Happy Gilmore. We knew like Happy Gilmore was just like a happy. That's where my happy place was, Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Watermelon Man. And I actually rewrote Watermelon Man. Watermelon Man was about a white man that turned black. And it's just one of the greatest. And I rewrote that movie. So, yeah, that.
What do you mean you rewrote it? Like you've got a remake of it?
I wrote it to where a white woman turns into me. I actually want the lady who plays the lead in Ted Lasso. I can never remember.
Hannah Waddingham. The brilliant Hannah Waddingham.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want her to play the white woman. And she turns into me.
That would be great.
Yeah, but you know, the industry's scared to do a movie like that, which we need a movie like that right now. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that movie because it's really a lesson of walking in someone else's shoes. And I really think that white people need to walk in black people's shoes. Black people need to walk in white people's shoes. Mm. If that makes any sense. Yeah. It's just like we need to experience each other. All races just need to experience each other's shit.
Yeah.
So then we can stop fucking gaslighting each other, because that's what we're doing. We're just gaslighting each other at this point. No one's solving shit. We're just gaslighting each other.
I think this is the film to save humanity. And I think, what do I need to do? Tell Hannah?
Just say, Hannah. Leslie got a movie called Watermelon Man. Let's fucking make it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, we're doing that. But we're in the meeting and they're going, hang on, we love this. And we go, yeah. I know you love it, but we're doing Showgirls 2 first, or we walk.
Oh, well, shit. Why you ain't say that in the beginning of the meeting?
you come in here with Hannah Waddingham and Leslie Jones. You do this whole thing, really interesting pitch, and then you tell me this was all a ruse to get Showgirls 2? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, okay. All right. Fuck it, because I love Showgirls 2.
What is the film that you most relate to? What's the film you saw where you're like, that's me, that is? Could be the character, could be the vibe.
Anything with Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Anything with Whoopi Goldberg. Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
Color Purple. Jumping Jack Flash.
Yeah.
I was like, if that's not fucking me, I don't know who the fuck it is. I mean, me and Whoopi talk about that shit all the time. And I was like, dude, every time you did a movie, I was like, that's me.
Yeah.
Like, that's me. You know, what's the, with the nun?
Sister Act.
Me. Anything Whoopi did, I was like, that's me.
Love
that's
it.
Me.
Okay, perfect answer. Leslie Jones, I'm teeing this up because you haven't seen the homework, so just know that this comes, you know, this is, everyone gets asked this. What's the sexiest film you've ever seen?
Ooh. Damn.
I know you know.
I thought of something and I was like, Leslie, do not say that.
Well, let me say this so you know what comes next. After you answer your sexiest, there is a subcategory, which is troubling boners, worrying wide-ons, a film you found arousing you weren't sure you should. Maybe what you just thought of is your next answer.
Then I'm going to go ahead and say it. Humanoids from the Deep.
What the fuck is Humanoids from the Deep?
You've never seen Humanoids from the Deep?
No.
That shit was a horror fucking porn. It was a horror porn. It was monsters that came out of the water and just started fucking women. And apparently they only grabbed white women. So it was like, they was only fucking the white women. They were racist too. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, is that what sex looks like? Whoa. Because they was just raw dogging them on the beach. Just
wow.
And then at the end of the movie, the fucking humanoid monster would pop out of their stomach. It was fucking scary.
So that's your troubling bone and worrying why, Doug. And also added immediately onto my list of things I desperately need to see. But what's your sexiest film that you have no shame
about? Oh, God. Oh, shit. Ooh, Patrick Swayze. Fucking Roadhouse.
True.
He was so goddamn fine in that movie. Oh, my God. And Roadhouse, yes. Him and Sam Elliott, child.
Oh, Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott. Classy choice.
Woo, he had that long hair and that bad knee. I was like, that's the man for me right there.
How's your knee? I love you on a first date. How's your knee? It's pretty good. This isn't going to work for me.
Do you have all your meniscus?
How's your ACL?
How's your ACL? Holy shit.
What is...
Oh, God. That is some funny shit. I don't think I laughed this long. You got me laughing like a motherfucker. This is so fun.
You're very funny. What? I mean, we're racing through it, though. What is objectively the greatest film of all time? It might not be your favourite film, but it's the greatest. It's the pinnacle of movies. Aliens come. They go, what cinema? You go, it's this.
Oh, see, there's so many that's like that. Oh, man. I mean, Citizen Kane? Yeah. I know people think it's a long, boring movie, but that shit was a masterpiece,
it's
man.
It's good.
That shit was a fucking masterpiece. And then for it all to end, for him to be fucking crying about a fucking sleigh, it's just the epitome of just, you could be too fucking rich. You could be too fucking rich sometimes. Godfather?
Mm-hmm.
Except for Godfather 3. I know everybody like, I did not like Godfather 3. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love you, Andy Garcia, but I fucking hated Godfather 3. I hated it. It felt like it was just made just because they was like, we need a Godfather 3. But Godfather 1 and 2, Scarface.
Love Scarface.
These are just such great movies to me because they just was such, they were written so well. They were acted so well. You know what I'm saying? Tootsie. I know that sounds crazy. Tootsie. No,
great
Kramer
film.
Versus Kramer. I mean, shit like that is just, that just has that element of biting fucking dialogue. It's just like, they don't write it like that no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you, what was your first one? Your first choice before Godfather? Oh, Citizen Kane.
I'm going to give you Citizen Kane. What's up, Citizen Kane?
Because you're right. Citizen Kane is not boring. It looks like it will be, but it's not.
It's very really good. It's very good. Yeah.
What is the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again? Is it Grease?
It'd probably have to be Blues Brother or Grease.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Happy Gilmore. One of those three are like, and that's pretty sad.
You must have worked with Adam Sandler, right?
Like every time we got to work together, our schedules was kind of fucked up. So, but we've met. We definitely met.
And have you told him?
I've definitely looked. Oh, yeah. I lost my fucking mind when I met him. I literally just started quoting the lines from the movie. And he just looked at me. He was like, how many times have you watched that movie? It's like 50-something times, motherfucker. I know. And I met Shooter in an audition. And it was hilarious because I didn't even get to go into the audition because I was out there going, shoot-ah. I was doing all his lines. He was dying. He was like, you know you got to go in on an audition. I was like, fuck that audition.
He's great, yeah. Isn't he, Shooter? He's very great.
He's a great actor. Everything he always plays is just really funny. Really, really hilarious, man.
All right, Leslie, the question coming up is a negative one, and we don't like to be negative for too long, let's just deal with
it. Here we go.
What's the worst film you've ever seen?
You know, I don't know if I call them worst films because I do analyze the fuck out of a film when I finish watching it, but I analyze it the next day. It's hard for me to call a film worse. I just go, how could that film have been better?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, people go on set and they work and, you know, they really hope that it comes out good, but, you know, sometimes it don't. I'm trying to think of a movie that I really did not like. That's hard to say because it's, like I said, I don't really... call any movie a bad movie. I just say, I might have been directed bad. Ah, they didn't cast that right.
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't like the makeup on that. I can't think of anyone right off the top of my head.
Then I love and respect you for it. I think I feel the same way about, as in, I think 99% of films are made with love. As in, are made with hope, at least. At least, like, everyone's...
With hope.
Everyone's doing their best, trying their best.
Especially if you know the process of trying to get a movie on,
yeah.
That I just like, you just know that they worked their ass off and then something happened in the fucking editing room that the shit didn't go right or whatever, you know.
The only films that I sort of object to, I think, if I had to answer this question, I'm not going to name them, but if this helps, is when I've seen films where I go like, I don't like the... I guess, message of this film. Like, I'm like, why did you want to make this? Like, this is a horrible thing.
Powder.
Okay.
I'm glad you said that. Powder. I understood what he was trying to do because it was Edward Scissorhands shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird. It was weird and you can't get the message with that weird shit. Like, it was too weird. It was too... I understood what he was doing.
Mm.
But I was like, feels weird.
Fair enough.
I think that's the one that just came off the top of my head.
I'll take it. What about, now, you're in comedy, you're very funny, but what is the film that made you laugh the most? And is it Happy Gilmore? Have we done it?
That laughed the most, God. Yeah. You know, anything Mel Brooks,
yeah.
Anything like that. You know, The Little Rascals. I mean, little shit like that I laugh at. I laugh at movement. I love action shit. You know,
yeah.
I love people falling over shit and you know, slipping on bananas and shit like that. Like, that shit makes me laugh. Like, I saw Holiday Switch last night. Holiday Switch is a new movie that's out with Jennifer Garner and Ed Helms.
Okay.
And he did this thing where, because they all switch and the little boy is in his body and he couldn't run. I was crying, laughing, because he was like, my knee. Shit like that just makes me just fall the fuck out laughing. I love movies like that. So it's so many. I mean, so many movies that are like that. Anything with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, wow.
Jerry Lewis.
He has never come up on this show, so that is a great show.
What? Jerry Lewis is like fucking, man. Him and Dean, they were just so fucking funny to me. Jerry Lewis was just very funny. Carol Burnett, Lucille Ball, anything. Lucille Ball, whenever she would do a movie with her husband, oh my God, the movie with the trailer, oh my God, just like anything like that. I just love goofy shit.
Yeah.
I love goofy shit.
Love it.
You know, Porky's. So I would say Porky's. Porky's. The Porky series has literally made me throw up laughing sometimes, especially like the sex scenes and the scenes with Mrs. Butterroot, the Butterfucker or something, what her name was. Miss Boofaker or something. I don't know what it was, but it was that movie, I would have to say, probably when I was young, I laughed a lot because it was just immature. It was just immature.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Maureen. Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans? Yeah.
meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12. Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbor, Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, this is going to look weird to you because you don't know the show, but just bear with me, okay? Do 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 do. Welcome to the Patreon section.
Come on in. Did you just have a stroke? Fred having a fucking stroke on the goddamn pocket. What the
Leslie,
fuck is that? Doo-doo-doo?
Welcome to the exclusive members only section. VIPs only in here.
Okay.
Welcome. Would you like a drink?
Yeah, I would like a joint. I don't drink, but
okay,
give me a joint.
We'll get you a joint. Now, what is the film that changed your perspective on something? You felt a certain way about something, and then you saw this film and you felt differently.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't think it necessarily was a film as much as it was a documentary about the royal family. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't like the guy. What's the guy? The son that had that was with Princess Diana?
Prince Charles? King
Yeah, I didn't
King
really
Charles,
like him. Yeah, I didn't like him. But The Crown made me have some sympathy for him.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
I mean, there was an episode of The Crown that made me go, oh, okay. If this is accurate, then... Mm. Okay, that dude is not as bad as I thought he was.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean,
wait a minute. Let me give you something better. Let me think. I know. I got to think of a film that changed my perspective, and I know the answer. Damn, I wish I had knew because I would have did the homework. Because a film that gave me perspective on something that made me change my mind. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm probably anything with Whoopi Goldberg. Probably anything with Denzel. Perspective. Damn, that is good. I don't have one that's coming to mind.
That's okay. That's okay.
Like, give me an example, maybe.
Well, it's how people interpret it. You know, there's like some people see, I don't know, like a big historical drama and they go, oh my God, I had never thought about that issue or that thing. But someone once answered on this, like the first time they saw a bad film, they were like, oh, I guess it made them realize that things are made, and it made change the perspective on how a film is made because they realize, oh, it doesn't all just happen. You have to, you know, so it can be how you interpret it.
Yeah, yeah. I would think probably all of the Ghostbusters movie because being part of the Ghostbusters series, seeing how shit was made, it did change my perspective on like how they choose movies or how they choose what gets to go into a movie.
Oh, can you like, say more? What do you mean? Like what, as in what you shot versus what was in it? Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I say it all the time. I even put this in my book. If we would have put out the movie that we actually shot mm-hmm. instead of the movie that they edited, we would got a lot better response to that movie. There was a lot of action taken out of it. There was a lot of scenes that were taken that connected the characters together. There was a lot of special effects that they didn't put in. And we're like, it's a Ghostbuster movie that has ghosts. So y'all should have known that special effects was going to have to fucking play a part in it.
Yeah.
And there was a scene, I'll put it like this. There's a scene that's not in that movie that if it was in that movie, that shit would have got some love. There's a scene where Chris Hemsworth is standing on top of the movie theater mm-hmm. and he's possessed by this evil ghost. And I don't know if you remember Michael Williams. He passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was in that movie. So the whole scene was that he possessed all of the FBI agents and all the police people and made them start dancing. Hmm. Now, Michael choreographed this whole thing. It was a whole thing, dude, the whole day. Wow. We came out to watch them do this thing. It was like 50 soldiers, and they all was doing like a Michael Jackson Thriller type thing. Seriously, I pray that if this comes out that they just go ahead and release the scene.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the best scenes ever done, and it didn't get into the movie. And why? Chris Hemsworth is on the top of the roof, and he's doing his hands, and he's making them dance. And they are just like, it's just so good. It's so good. And then they all freeze. It's so fucking good. And it wasn't in the movie. And it's like, I think that was the biggest question I asked them was like, how would y'all cut that scene out? That is one of the best. That scene was
what was the answer? What did they say? Why?
They couldn't afford the special effects, which didn't make no fucking sense. They just didn't want to spend it on a special. They had already, to me, they had already gave up on this movie because people was already responding with, oh, that can't be girl Ghostbusters. And you got a bunch of dumb people that like, oh, why would they replace the Ghostbusters with women? We had all that shit going on. So they got scared. They got scared, which to me broke my heart because I go, people don't know what the fuck they want. Yeah, like, that's why we're entertainers. That's why I'm a comedian. I know what you're going to laugh at. You don't. That's why I'm professional. That's why we're professionals. We fucking know what's going to go out there. And I, it's just, they gave up on us. They gave up on their movie.
Man.
And it, to me, like right now, if that movie was made, it would be such a fucking triumph. People would be like, women Ghostbusters. But when we made it, nobody was feeling like that. It just made me really just sad about our whole society. It made me go, God damn, so misogyny really does live. Yeah. That's fucking stupid. Like, I mean, it was coming from men who have daughters. So we're like, so are you telling your daughter that she can't be shit? Like, are you telling her she can't be? Like, what if your daughter came up to you and said, I want to be a Ghostbuster? You telling me that you're going to tell your daughter, no, girls can't be Ghostbusters. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like that, if you're talking about frustration to the next level, that right there was frustration. Yeah.
Man, I'm really sorry to hear that. It's interesting you say it because I liked that film, but I watched that film and it felt like watching it, I was like, there are things in it where it feels disconnected. It feels like a film that has been edited to fuck and that stuff has been taken out of it. And there's like lots of nice stuff and everyone's doing great things in it. But it's like, it looks like a film that has been...
They just put a bunch of scenes together.
Yeah.
And if they had 10 more minutes of... like there was a scene that showed you why... the characters, Melissa and Christian, were friends. Mm. There was a scene that showed that. There was a scene that showed, you know, the connection of that. There were so many scenes that was cut out that we were like, yeah, they're trying to figure out how to fuck these four girls. He became friends and how to fuck they start. Mm. Yeah, because y'all didn't put it in there. So yeah, that was a movie right there that changed my perspective on how they make films out here. Yeah.
Ha, well, that is a very sad and interesting story. I'm sorry for that, Leslie. That is
I'm sorry I didn't mean to disappoint you.
No, I'm disappointed for you. I'm really angry.
You know what I wish? I wish they would just, and they can do it. Yeah. They could just release a director's cut. That's all. They got the shit. The only thing they got to do is just, they have it. We shot it. Only thing they have to do is just be brave enough to release it.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're adding that to the list when we go into that meeting. And when they say, okay, guys, listen, we will release Ghostbusters. And we go, on the condition that we make Showgirls 2 first. And they go, Jesus Christ, you tricked us again. For fuck's sakes, guys.
They're going to be like, do not take a meeting with Brett and Leslie. They're fucking the worst. They're the fucking worst.
They did this such a passionate plea for re-releasing Ghostbusters. We said yes. And then they said, no, it has to be Showgirls 2.
How the fuck did we go from Ghostbusters to Showgirls? This is just not natural.
What is the best opening to a film? Best opening.
God, these are such great questions.
Thank you, Leslie.
Oh my God. And I just don't have the answers for them because it's just like my brain ain't working fast enough. Damn, the greatest opening to a movie. Shit. Everything. Let me see. Everything. Happy Gilmore has a great opening. Mm-hmm. Jumpin' Jack Flash. Jumpin' Jack Flash is a great opening because she gets up and she turns on that music and it's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's not coming to me, but I bet you I'm going to have all the answers for you tonight.
That'd be great. That's perfect. That's when we need them. What is the best what is the best ending to a film? You can just text me later and I'll be like, oh, yeah, it's cool.
The best ending.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Now, for real, I know I got an answer to that because there's been some endings to movies that I'd be like, oh, that shit ended great. Mm-hmm. fuck. And it's just not coming to me. It's not coming to me. There's so many great endings. But I hate when a movie ends with a question.
Mm.
I don't like when movies end where you're like, did the motherfucker live? I hate them type of movies. And I want those directors to be beaten with a bag of director books, because fuck that. Don't do that to the people. Unless you're going to have another part two or something. I hate movies that end where I got to guess what happened.
Yeah. So what's your answer?
Any movie where Godzilla has to destroy the city, love it. Love that. I love when Godzilla lives at the end.
Yeah.
I love that. I love when King Kong lives at the end. I love all of those type of movies where they just beat the shit out of humans and then they just go away. My favorite shit. I like the movies where the humans get killed. I know that's fucked up, but I...
No, listen. You like humans getting killed and fucked by aliens.
Humanoids of the Deep has a great ending.
What's the ending?
That's a great...
It's a happy ending.
It's not happy at all. It's some bullshit. It's some real bullshit.
Oh, shit.
You know what's so funny? We were talking about Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie called Abby that was done before The Exorcist.
Okay.
And to this day, I swear, I know that the people from Exorcist stole that fucking idea from Abby. Abby was about a black woman who gets possessed, right? But you have to go see this movie, okay? So the guy who plays Blackula is the preacher in this movie, right? So this woman gets possessed and she just fucks every dude to death. Like, she fucks them to death. Like, they...
Okay, I want to see this, yeah.
So I know they still, because the shit was the same way. She was possessed. He had to come in there and do an exorcist, all this shit. It shit was scary. But it's scary as fuck, though, dude. It's scary as fuck. Her name is Abby. She fucked the shit out of all of it. She just, like, she demon fucked them. Like,
I mean, The Exorcist sounds like Abby with all the fun bits taken out. I'm now like, they ruined Abby. That's what the tagline should have been.
They ruined Abby. You know what's so funny? I just realized that I have so many films in my head, it's hard to go through the library of them all. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I'm going to be thinking about these questions you asked me. I'm like, fuck, why you ain't say that? Fuck, you knew that.
Listen, there's a sequel. One day we'll do a sequel. We'll do a resurrection and you can have a bit more preparation for that. But tell me this, what's your favorite film?
Damn, I knew you was going to ask me that. It's hard to call a favorite film because I love them all.
Mm-hmm.
I love them all. Shit. I would probably have to say anything with Whoopi Goldberg, but I have to... Lady Sings the Blues is one of my favorites. Mahogany. I mean, I like old movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's Do It Again. You know, anything with Richard Pryor. Which Way Is Up? Which Way Is Up was the movie that I think I showed somebody and I was like, that wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. It's a little disconjunction. Like, it was funny, but it was like, ooh, why'd you do that cut there? Oh, that's a terrible... The Wiz, too. If you rewatch The Wiz, you go, what the fuck was up with the camera angles? Get a close-up. What the fuck? Get a close-up. Like, you know. But my favorite film, it would have to be one of the old ones, you know. Just, you know, I think all the way back to Buster Keaton. Buster Keaton used to do a lot of movies that was just fucking insanely awesome. It's hard to call a favorite film because I love movies too much.
Because
they're all my favorite. I have to?
Yeah.
Because is there somebody going to kill me?
Yeah. The Man on the Toilet with the erection.
I'm paying him. He better not fucking raise no hand to me.
Well, no, he's killing you lovingly with his penis.
That's the way I want to die.
Yeah.
That's the way I want to die for sure. Shit, Richard Pryor. I would probably have... You know, it's not a movie, it's a concert. Richard Pryor's concert. Like,
that was a movie, though, right? That was released in cinemas. Richard Pryor Live
it
in
was.
Concert. You can have that.
He has a red shirt. He has a red shirt and black pants on. It's the thing that changed my life. It changed my life.
Yeah.
It changed everything in my life. I really I had an era of comedy when I saw that. The first time I saw that, I was like, first of all, this man knows everything about my life and he's making it funny.
Mm.
Like, how does this guy know me? That's what I felt like. I was like, why am I laughing on the inside of my stomach? Like, I was laughing from a different place And I was like, how is he doing that? How is he doing that with his words? Like, that shit is fucking me up. Like, and I from that day on, I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to be funny like that. Like, I want people to laugh from the bottom of their stomach. And that's where he had me laughing from, so.
Did you ever meet him? Did you ever get to meet him?
I got to meet him right maybe 6 or 7 months before, after he got diagnosed with, I think he had Parkinson's or, yeah.
He had MS.
So he came to the Comedy Store and everybody was like, yo, did you know Richard Pryor's out in the audience? And nobody was saying shit. Everybody was just going up performing and nobody was saying shit. So I was like, oh, I went up on stage and I said, yo, I don't know if y'all know, but a motherfucking legend's in the house. Fucking Richard Pryor's here. And everybody's like, what? Everybody's going crazy. And I did, what I did was I re-performed my favorite joke by him, which is about a switch tree, about how he would see a switch tree and he would jump out the car and be like, you're not going to whoop on nobody else's. And I did that joke. And he, you could see him laughing from the table. And then I did my set. And then the guy comes to the back. He was like, Richard wants to meet you. And I was just like, holy shit. So I went to his table and I'm shaking.
Yeah.
I'm like shaking. And I shook his hand and I didn't realize that I was gripping his hand. And I was like, I feel like, I literally said this. I said, I feel like you're passing it on to me. Like you're passing your power on to me. And he was like, no, bitch, you're squeezing my hand really hard. Let go of my fucking hand. And I was like, I just fell out laughing. I was like, holy shit, you're hilarious. Like, yeah, that was me meeting Richard Pryor.
That's great.
Yep.
Leslie, you've been wonderful. You've been really wonderful. However, when you were 100 years old, the day of your 100th birthday, and you walk into the bathroom and there's your young man and he's got a cake with 100 candles on and an erection. And he says, baby, it's time. And you go, happy birthday. And you climb on his penis and you blow out the candles. And as you do, the exertion gives you a heart attack. And this poor, poor young man who is very prepared for this holds you as you die in his arms and you fall into a cake in a slapstick style that you would enjoy. And then I'm walking past the room with a coffin. You know, I'm like,
what the fuck are you there for? Why are you there?
I'm just wandering the streets and stuff.
And why are you wandering around? Where's security?
Well, that's the thing. I was also clued in on this. The young man tipped me off. He said, listen, I'm not going to know what to do with the body. I said, listen, I got you covered. So I knock on the door and I go, is it done? He goes, yeah, she's dead. I come in the bathroom and I'm like, oh, shit. There's so much cake. It was a big cake. And he said, yeah, I'm fucking... she's 100. We had to fit the candles.
Cakes everywhere.
There's cake everywhere. I'm like, oh, will you help me with the body?
Will you tell him
to
put his penis away?
No, he's still got an erection. It's mad. He's just standing there with an erection. I go, man, this is uncomfortable for me. Would you put some pants on or something? He goes, nah, this is what she wanted. It was in the pre-will. And I'm like, she did a pre-will? Okay.
So
we get you in the coffin, but there's cake everywhere. So much cake that it makes everything bigger than it should be. There's no room in this coffin. It's absolutely jammed in there. There's only enough room in this coffin for me to slip one DVD into the side with you, for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. What film are you taking to show the food in Weed Heaven when it is your movie night, Miss Leslie Jones?
Oh, damn. Did I mention Poltergeist? Poltergeist was very important.
You did not.
There's only one scene. There's one scene in there where she screams about her babies that I cry every time. Shit, that is fucking torture. The same movie... Because I don't like to rewatch movies.
No, everyone else is showing a different film every night. This is just when it's your turn.
You're going to laugh.
Okay.
It's between two Reese Witherspoon movies. Freeway.
Yeah.
Or
I like Freeway.
The Freeway or the other one where she was the, where she was Elle, the college one.
Legally Blonde.
She was the,
Legally
so
Blonde.
Good. It doesn't matter if where I'm at, if that's on TV, I watch it.
Okay.
I don't care how many times I've seen it. I watched that movie.
Listen, yeah. Freeway is a great and a niche choice, but I guess if you're up there making friends, you're going to take Legally Blonde.
Yes, Legally. All three of them though, right?
Yeah, of course. You're taking the trilogy disc set.
Yes. Damn, I can't believe I picked Legally Blonde. I'm going to be mad about that choice later. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be like, what the fuck? Why would you not? I'm going to be like, hit Brett and tell him, no, it's this movie.
You're going to wake up at 3 in the morning. Legally Blonde? Leslie, you've been brilliant. Is there anything you would like to plug to tell people to look out for, to watch or listen to? I suggest they come find you doing stand-up for starters. Anything else?
Yes. Come look for me for stand-up. I have a book out called Leslie Fucking Jones. The book and the audio. The audio is definitely different from the book because I wasn't going to read my own book. What the fuck? I know the story. So the audio is completely different than the written book. So
what story are you just telling different stories on the audio?
I picked up the book. They said, okay, you got to read the book. So I started reading the book and I was like, you guys, this is not going to fucking work. I like every time I get to a sentence, I go, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. Woo, 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 woo. You know, so I just put the book down and said, hey, just keep up with me on where I am in the book, but I'm just going to tell the stories.
Oh, great. So, that's great.
Yeah, it's a really good audio book. People love it. People are inspired by it, which is rather strange, but okay.
Okay. I'm going to have to do both. All right, Leslie. What an absolute
I would say
dream.
Do the audio book first, though.
Oh,
do
really?
Do the audio book first, though.
And yeah, then read the true story.
Then read the story, yeah. Then you're going to be like, yeah, this book is similar.
But she really exaggerated on that audio one. Okay. All right. Well done. Thank you for your time. You've been wonderful. I've loved it. Have a wonderful death.
Oh, my God.
And I hope I see you soon.
I had so much fun. You're absolutely incredible.
You're incredible.
I thought you was going to be an incredible person. You end up being an incredible person. Leslie, thank you so much.
Leslie, I said no
thank
more
Thank you
tears.
So much.
Thank you so much. I've really
I'm
enjoyed
telling
it so
you,
much.
You have a bright future. You need to get you some shades, baby. You got a bright future. You got it.
God bless you, Leslie Jones. No more tears. All right, I'll see you for the Showgirls 2 pitch. Thank you for your time.
Yes!
So that was episode 279. Head over to the Patreon section at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for all the extra stuff you get with all the episodes. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and blah, blah, blah. You know all that stuff. I don't need to keep saying it, do I? Thank you so much to Leslie for being so brilliant. Get her book, Leslie Fucking Jones. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Massive shout out to Buddy Peace, who puts all this together. He's amazing. Happy Christmas to him. Happy Christmas to you all for listening. I'm so grateful that you do. I hope you're all well. I really hope you have a wonderful Christmas. And join me next week where I've got another fucking brilliant guest. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a Merry Christmas. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.